If you have a small team, I would say just everyone should roam everywhere. Again, they're going to be working on one specific task at a time, but that task might cross certain areas of the product. And that's good because then you have shared knowledge. You don't have these key, irreplaceable employees that when they win the lottery, they're going to go off and never come back. So that's a problem for your business.
Hi, I'm Andreas. I'm the founder and CEO of Made with Love. We help startups and their teams grow. Today, I'm talking with my colleague Steve Tower about evolution of technical roles in startups in our podcast Pulse. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy this episode. So welcome, Steve. You're, of course, a CTO in residence at Made with Love. You join teams to mentor them. Oftentimes, you need to firefight a bit there as well, so you call yourself a firefighting CTO. You're also the lead auditor for due diligence practice. So you do a lot of technical due diligence and audits for investors. And you're from the US, but you live in Croatia. And of course, in your free time, you play board games, you read, and you try to write sci-fi. I don't know if you actually wrote something, but that's at least what you try to do. And in the end, of course, you spend time with your growing family. But we're not going to talk about that today. We want to talk about growing engineering teams. So maybe a good question to start with is like, what is your ideal team structure when you talk about a, let's say, Series A size startup?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. We can jump right into Series A. In that team, I imagine that there's definitely a number of developers. And what I like to see is I like to see what I call pods. These are like small groups of developers, usually three, where that entire pod can complete a task 100%. And this is really similar to the ShapeUp model that's used by Basecamp. They add a designer into the mix. When it comes to Series A startup, I don't know that you necessarily need to have this like product designer inside that group. Sometimes you want that as their own standalone team, as part of a product team. So I would say that for a Series A team, you can have three different pods of three people. So you're looking at like nine engineers and then a product management group to support them. So PMs and designers to support them. And so the whole group is involved in the research. You don't want to split up research. For instance, PMs are only doing research. There's no research done by engineering. That's bad practice. And you don't want, for instance, the front-end engineers working together, the back-end engineers working together, the DevOps engineers working together. You're siloing that knowledge. So you want maybe one front-end person, one back-end person, one DevOps focused person. They can ship a whole functionality together as a group and co-own that and co-collaborate on that to make it work. So that's the basic structure that I look for.
Okay, cool. Maybe very detailed question, but for example, You mentioned that as a DevOps kind of person of those groups. Does that make sense in an early stage startup as well? Like, what's the difference there? Like, do you see like the roles being more spread out over the different teams, like one person servicing the different teams, or how do you deal with that?
I think DevOps is a role, first of all. It doesn't have to be like a DevOps engineer, but someone within the pod needs to have the expertise to deploy the solution and update the system so that the system works with whatever new functionality is being added. So for example, if you need to integrate with a new API, you will have secrets and API keys that need to be managed. And someone within that pod needs to have the expertise to properly store that information in a secure way. And for instance, if you're using containerization, properly inject those secrets into the container in the production and staging environments, so that you are working in a secure way. Someone has to be able to do that. Maybe they need to also modify the Docker configuration or the Docker Compose configuration. So someone needs to take that responsibility. That doesn't mean you have to have a dedicated person doing just that. Again, it's a role. So it's probably like a senior backend person that is learning about this. It could be even just, someone from the front end that's interested in this.
What about, I mean, of course, that's about rolling out stuff, but who sets like the foundation of the infrastructure then? Is that a shared responsibility of the different pods, or is there another pod that's focusing on that? How do you see that?
What I like to do is when a specific pod is assigned a task that has wider implications than just a specific functionality, they can develop an engineering document that first they're going to go and do research. That's part of their role. So they'll research different solutions. And for instance, let's say they see, okay, we need to have like a caching layer here. We feel that there's a lot of issues with performance. So they'll go and research different solutions. And then they'll document that. Once they are done documenting that, the potential solutions, they can also document the trade-offs of those solutions. Maybe they're doing some prototyping. Because this is a decision that is going to affect the other pods in the team, they can then open that up for comments. And the other teams can then spend some time looking at that particular document, giving their input, so that it's a decision that the whole group makes. Eventually, you might have the position that there is enough work to extract out and have a team taxonomy where you have a team that is delivering functionality, and then you have a team that's dedicated to supporting this team. So this is the team that is building out maybe internal API resources or really focusing on infrastructure as a resource rather than the product owning its own infrastructure. So this is like the team supporting teams methodology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in terms of product management, there also you say there is like some product person assigned to each team. There is no, I mean, or it can also be that there maybe like one person is dealing with three teams at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. It's really hard to balance the volume of work for the product managers and the engineering teams themselves. So this is just, further, not necessarily complicated, but it's something you definitely need to keep a pulse on. What I like to see there is, so make sure that your product managers are working together so that they can support each other in the full flow of taking the ideas, filtering those ideas, prioritizing them, figuring out what the most important idea is for the product, and then preparing that using a feature passport so that the engineering team has the context they need. Of course, you need to do research, quantitative and qualitative. You need to validate these ideas before bringing it to the engineering team. So you might have one product manager that can support two different pods at the same time. It just depends on the complexity of the work and the speed of development. I like to see that you have a Kanban style so that as a pod is finishing their work, they can just pick up the next task that is ready. They can dig into it, do whatever research is necessary, and just keep the chunks of work quite small. I would say 1 week or less. Anything longer than 1 week, it's totally made up. You can't really agree that what you're doing is going to be that valuable. And then there's also the opportunity to take pods and assign them to specific domains with inside the product.
Yeah, I was about to ask, like, do you make pods responsible for a certain area of the product, or do they basically roam around to whatever they can do?
Yeah, so it depends what your strategy is. If you have a small team, I would say just everyone should roam everywhere. Again, they're going to be working on one specific task at a time, but that task might cross certain areas of the product. And that's good because then you have shared knowledge. You don't have these key irreplaceable employees that when they win the lottery, they're going to go off and never come back. So that's a problem for your business. Also why documentation is so important. But in this case, as the team is growing, once you get to about maybe like three or four pods, you might start to consider that what are the bounded contexts of your application, and then take a pod and assign them to a specific bounded context. And in this way, then they can get very deep expertise into a specific area. So you might have a permission system that's incredibly complicated, and it requires work every single week of every single month of every single year. And you could have one pod that is dedicated to that. And in this way, you basically are starting to split up almost into like a microservices architecture. If your application is going to go that way, you have the pods that are assigned to that. Of course, if you're doing microservices, you need to have more people than you actually have microservices. That's a key mistake that engineering teams make.
And for my understanding, do you switch people between the different pods, or are the pods like more or less stable?
They're quite stable, but there is switching. I like to see them switch every 6 months, kind of rotate people around. This gives the opportunity for new ways of working. The pod themselves, they can decide, how often they're going to do, for instance, pair programming, how are they going to collaborate? And so just being exposed to those different work styles is important.
Cool.
But of course, being exposed to the different expertise is also important. So, you know, you're working with different levels of engineers. You can have like maybe two seniors and a junior in each pod. And in this way, you're mentoring the person with the least amount of seniority. So they should be exposed to kind of different areas of the application as well.
Okay. And how do you see the role of the CTO? Obviously, the role changes regarding the stage of the company, but yeah, can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, so the CTO role, I think, is something that is sometimes misattributed, especially when you have like a technical co-founder. Oftentimes, they get this CTO title. I think that's becoming less prevalent lately. I've noticed that, which is a great trend for sure. So initially, that person is really like acting as a lead engineer, right? So they're developing the initial version of the software. Maybe they're not even a lead engineer, it's just one person. So they're just the software engineer and they're developing the product. So in that case, they really need the technical skills to be able to deliver a solution. So they're programming, they're designing, they're architecting. Eventually, they start to manage people. And this is where that person needs to develop the skills to do people management. So they're really thinking about the efficiency of other people. They are thinking about those people and their frustrations, their motivations, and yeah, how the processes are affecting those people. So this is a different type of skill. This is not necessarily a technical skill. It's process management, people management, sometimes budget management. Eventually, those teams continue to grow, and now they're overseeing teams of teams. And this is where perhaps you need to have a VPOE come in, a VP of engineering, and really help you manage the day-to-day work so that you can focus on more strategic items. So now you're not necessarily doing people management directly. You are doing that at a one step away. And so you're focused more on strategy. You're more focused on compliance and GDPR.
Yeah. When you mentioned you mean the CTO, right?
Yeah, the CTO. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you the CTO, that's my audience, right?
Yeah, sure.
It continues to evolve and maybe the team grows and it's, you know, it's got 200 engineers. Now you're really thinking about risk management and you're focused on the different frameworks to help mitigate security intrusion. So you need to think about, okay, what is our incident response plan and this sort of thing. Of course, you need to think about that earlier. And yeah, so there's the skills are definitely evolving as you go. I think the most important thing is you as an individual, you need to understand, do you want to be a people manager or do you want to stay on the technical track? I think that's a key question that many engineers really need to introspect about. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to stay on the technical track and become a staff engineer or principal engineer and not move into the management side. I think CTOs have a very blurry role at times because they might, for instance, pick up on the product side of things. There might not be a well-formed product organization. So the CTO sometimes needs some product skills as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And actually, we haven't talked about engineering management. How does that factor in this whole thing?
Yeah, engineering management, I think, is a quite important role. It's, for me, it's something that if you have very good technical leaders, you might not even need. So really what engineering management is for the situations where, and this is very common in the best engineering teams, they have a technical lead, which is not doing people management. They're really helping their smaller teams. Maybe it's a pod, maybe it's a different format, maybe it's five engineers, two pizza team. And they are helping them really make the technical decisions. And so there's a gap there. There's no people management occurring. And this is where engineering managers can come in and really manage the people and even do process management. So that's where they fit in. It really just depends on the skill set of your existing team. So if you have 10 engineers and you have maybe a VPOE to do the people management and you have a CTO that is doing the strategic thinking, they're going to go and explore that strategic side. Just like a CEO, they're looking externally to the company. They're thinking about these external factors. They're going to come up with some sort of vision, some sort of plan. And they're going to hand that off internally to their VPOE so the VPOE can execute on it. Maybe they have also a VP of product that can focus on the internal product side of things. And then that work is then created and defined, researched, validated, and the team executes it as a whole. And the engineering managers, they're a layer on top of that where they are supporting the individuals. They're really acting as the voice of the employee.
Cool. Very clear to me. I hope it's also clear for our listeners. So obviously, we have written a blog post about it. I mean, you have written a blog post about it, which you can find on our blog on madewithlove.com. It's called The Evolution of Technical Roles. And I think we also have an older blog post about the evolution specifically of a CTO and their responsibilities written by my co-founder of the company, Jonas. So check that out as well. Thanks a lot for your time, Steve. And of course, thank you for listening and see you in the next episode. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn or subscribe to our newsletter on our website, or of course, subscribe to our podcast Pulse on your favorite podcasting platform. If you have any questions on what we do or what's discussed in this podcast, you can reach out to us also via email, or you can find us on Twitter as well. So don't hesitate to ping it if you have any questions. Thanks a lot for listening. That's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening and following us. Listen to other episodes on our website, madewithlove.com/pulse, or on your favorite streaming service. You can, of course, also follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter. See you next time.